passion.
Dope boy still smelling like cocaína. White boat, white road, can he be more cleaner? The oil you spilled at BP ain't clean up. I'm anti, Santa Maria. Only Christopher we acknowledge is Wallace. I don't even like Washington's in my...
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely. The voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraj Muhammad. Yes, folks, you heard my man Jay-Z. The only Christopher we acknowledge is Wallace. That's right. As we talk about, should we continue to celebrate Columbus Day given the history? We've been talking to Sister Queen Ganashda High Lone Wolf on the line right now, who's in some part of the country. Queen, where are you right now?
As a matter of fact, I'm in Atlanta at an event with TI, and it's a community event to push voter registration.
Yeah.
As you know, in the city of Atlanta, or in the state of Georgia, is going to be the first Black woman governor, Stacey Abrams, and so you can tell who I'm going for.
Right.
So that's, you know. So as a matter of fact, I can't be on the phone that long because. I'm here.
You're there. Well, you know what? We appreciate your time. We're going to let you go in a few minutes.
Okay.
We're going to let you go in a few minutes. I want to get Gail and then Fred, but Gail checking in from Baltimore County, first-time caller. Gail, what's your take on this conversation?
Hi. Well, I'm a teacher in the county, and the county is very aware of this issue, and their curriculum includes very honest facts about the oppression of the indigenous people. By Christopher Columbus and the spread of disease and slavery and killing. And, you know, we take teaching the truth to the students very seriously. And I thought it might reassure the listeners to know that Baltimore County is very aware of using primary and secondary sources to teach the truth.
So how does that
Thank
look,
you.
And Gail, that's fantastic. How does that look in terms of the county recognizing this day? Is the county going to take that stance, you think? And I'm saying from a political level to say, you know what, we're not going to celebrate Columbus Day.
Well, I at that point, I don't really know. But I know that the county, you know, cares about that as a fact. If that gets brought into consciousness,
yeah,
and that's communicated to the public, wouldn't that be great?
That would be a fan. And the other question is, when you talk to students about that history, that part of history, where do you start?
Well, we start with why they came here in the first place and what it was that they sought and how they went about taking it. So, you know, Europeans, at first the Spanish coming to the United States or to America.
Wow.
And what they were looking for, gold, you know, what resources were available, and they weren't about to share that with the people who were already living here.
Well, you know what, Gail, I'm glad that you're starting from a very truthful place. And I'm glad that there is some acknowledgement of it, especially as you as a teacher. What do you think that people should be able to gain from this conversation at this point, Gail? Like, should there be a real effort to continue to celebrate this holiday and other holidays that don't acknowledge the diversity of this country?
It's time to recognize what should be celebrated in an honest way. And, you know, these are old ways of thinking.
Yeah.
We have education, so we have new ways of thinking, so we can have new holidays to celebrate what really needs to be celebrated.
Gail, I like you already.
I like you too.
Thank you so much, right, Gail. Yeah. I appreciate you. Gail from Baltimore County. New holidays. Let's go to Fred out of Silver Spring, first-time caller. Fred, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take, sir?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Indeed. Yes, I'd just like to say that I think Columbus is a truly great man, and he did, I really think he deserves to be celebrated for the courage of his convictions in making that voyage across that huge ocean with very little in the way of science and technology at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
In those three rickety old ships, it was a very courageous act. And to really bring into the consciousness of the European folks the fact that there was a land beyond to the west was an amazing accomplishment in the year 1492. And I really think that he deserves enormous credit for what he did for Western civilization.
So what about the other part of his history in terms of spreading disease and
well, the spread of disease
and murdering millions of Native Americans.
I'm sorry, say
wasn't
it again, Fred.
An intentional act. It wasn't. He didn't intend to do that, I'm sure.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. He did intentionally came. He didn't come with nice and his whole mission. The queen said, "Go and conquer." That's conquer. That word conquer. That conquer word. They used that word in order to be able to kill anything that was in sight. So that's exactly what he came with. And on top of it, he wasn't a praised man there. He got nothing but robbers and thieves from the community that he came from, of Italy and Spain, and they came on the boats. It wasn't highly educated of that time that was on the boat. They were basically, they were prisoners and said, you know what, you go on the boat, and you go conquer the
Listen,
people.
Your revisionist history doesn't cut it with the majority of the people in this country. It's crazy.
Not everybody is as whacked out as you liberals.
I'm sorry.
It's not a. Wait a minute. Hold
it's
on.
Not
but
it's
not liberal.
It's
this is true. This is fact. We got to get back to history. This is not about politics as much as this is about history, Fred. And I think that's the hard part.
You have to know the actual facts of history. When you look at Christopher Columbus, it was the people. It was the people that were in prison. So the Queen of Spain said, "Grab the men that are in prison, put them on the Nina, and the rest of the boats that Christopher Columbus came on, because they knew she knew that they were disposable if something happened to them on their voyage."
Yeah.
So the people that came were murderers. The people that came were rapists. The people that came were thieves. They were all, and this is in your history books. The history books that I didn't write, but your forefathers wrote instead of their forefathers. So I don't know how great Christopher Columbus was when their whole mission and the Queen Isabel said, "Go and conquer them."
Well, you know what, Sister Queen, Fred hung up. But Fred, I really hope that you would, you know, been a part of the conversation. And I know, and this is the thing, folks, it's going to be a very hard and sensitive conversation, but it's not about liberal or conservative. I'm beyond that. It really is about looking at history. And I think that if we're going to move the needle on any of these issues, we have to have thick skin to hear the truth and to go deeper, not based upon, you know, just taking anybody's word for it. Do the research yourself. Do the fact checking yourself.
What kills me is the fact that I don't understand how if you are speaking truth, then all of a sudden you're a liberal. No, it's not about Democrats, Republicans. It's about actual facts. And it's about and the fact that a lot of times, you know, it's so funny that, you know, you have so many of white America's forefathers that wrote this history. I think it is a proclamation. They called us heathen savages. You know, still, it's a Declaration of Independence. In the Declaration of Independence, it said, it's still in there in 2018 that we are merciless savages. Native Americans, they say that we are merciless savages in 2018. And so the truth is there, but I don't understand how all of a sudden it becomes political when we're like, no, look it. So how can you sit there for the gentleman and anyone else that is that would like to call in and be a part of what he's saying, that Christopher Columbus was a great man? No, even the Queen didn't think he was a great man.
Mm.
The Queen, no, that's the fifth grade version of that history.
Mm.
But if you go into the collegiate version of that history, it would really go into what that history means.
Let's go
the K through fifth grade version of that history
shows
that, yes, he was a great man. But if you go, I went to college. You know, I went to New York University. I went to Morgan State University. And in that version, no, they were the worst of the worst of that community that they put on those boats.
Let's go back to the phone lines as we got a few moments left with Sister Queen Ganache the High Lone Wolf. As we are talking about this question or this movement around acknowledging Christopher Columbus, should we continue to celebrate Columbus Day? Let's go back to the line. Let's check in with the real Thomas out of Harford County. Thomas, talk to me, sir.
Well, I heard the young lady say she went to the Morgan State University.
Mm.
I went to the South Carolina State College back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes,
I'll
sir.
I'll say this, man. People like Fred that called in, you know, they'll find a reason to support a murderer like Christopher Columbus was, okay? Because it benefits them. We call that white men privilege, okay? That's what you're seeing on display right now in this country with this Kavanaugh situation. White men privilege, okay? They can rape, rob, kill, steal, murder anybody they want. But the minute they run, their greatest enemy, Faraji, is an intelligent black man or an intelligent black woman. They all do the same like that coward just did. Hold up the telephone.
All right. Hey, Thomas, look, that's why we can't have certain conversations in this country. And it's not just about Fred as an individual. It's talking about the mentality behind it. Like, if we can't sit down and have a truthful conversation about this country's history, about what the forefathers of this country have done, then how are we going to ever be able to address the current issues right now?
You are right, Faraji.
Yeah.
Their definition of the truth is whatever they say it is, which that doesn't, and like he just told her, that Fred, if you're listening, this is the real Thomas that's saying, that don't cut it with us, bro.
Real Thomas, thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to Ock out of Mount Vernon. What you got to say, Ock?
Yeah, let's just change Columbus, Ohio to Columbia, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Columbos. Have a good one.
All right, Ock, thank you so much for checking in. Sister Queen Ganache, I know your time is very limited, and we appreciate it. What should we expect over the next couple of months? Do you think that this is going to be another conversation next year, or do you foresee some real change taking place? We got Queen. Looks like.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. I just want to get some final remarks from you, Queen. What do you expect to see over the next 12 months as cities are slowly starting to change this day and to replace it with Indigenous People Day? Do you foresee that happening over the next 12 months and for us to avoid having this conversation next year?
I pray that we do, and I pray that it happens, and I'm urging for the city of Baltimore to make that happen, you know, for the city of Baltimore.
Yeah.
So I pray that it does happen.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, Sister Queen Ganache the High Lone Wolf, thank you so much for checking in. We got to bring you back because I know that you got a lot to say about this upcoming election, so we got to make some time in your busy schedule to have you back on. All right, Sister Queen, thank you so much for checking in. All right, folks, we got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we got a whole lot of more show to do, so stay riding with us. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. ladies, and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. All right, folks, I want to shift gears on another story that has caught some national attention here. Apparently, in the city of Cleveland, Ohio, they're making a claim, or a judge is deciding, rather, that he will stop sending people charged with crime to sit in the county jail unless they're accused of committing the worst crimes. Because he believes the jail is no longer safe after a sixth inmate died in 4 months. So he's essentially saying that he wants to stop sending nonviolent offenders to jail. Now, Cleveland Municipal Judge Michael Nelson said that the string of jail deaths has disturbed him and he's no longer comfortable setting bonds for people charged with crimes unless they're charged with violent crimes. He said that he will set personal bonds, meaning people who walk into his courtroom will be allowed to leave without posting bonds. He said he's going to reach out to the court's administrative judge, Ms. Michelle Early, and try to set up a meeting with jail officials to figure out why so many inmates are dying. Now, this is what he went on record to say. He said, the first thing I did this morning when I saw the story is to look to see if it was someone I sent to jail. I'm giving personal bonds to everyone from now on, unless they're the worst of the worst, until things get figured out at the jail. Ms. Michelle Early, who is the court's administrative judge, said that she has set up a meeting with jail officials. She said in a letter, in an email, that both the warden of the county jail and the chief of public safety for Cuyahoga County out there in Ohio have agreed to meet with me so that the court can get a better understanding of what is going on with the jail, what has happened in these situations, and what plans the jails has will implement to prevent further inmates' deaths in the facility. So I want to kind of get your take on this. This whole idea of not sending people to jail for nonviolent offenses. Is this the model that you think that we should possibly look into, right? Will that help to decrease the jail population? I mean, we often talk about this, the school-to-prison pipeline. We talk about this pipeline in general, especially for Black men, that you know that you, if you go a certain path in your life, make certain decisions, that you'll end up either one or two things, either jail or dead. But what would happen if a judge in the state of Maryland, in the city of Baltimore, says, you know what, enough is enough. I will not continue to send people to jail for nonviolent offenses. Do you think that that would help, one, our jail problem in this country and in this state? And then two, do you think that, you know, providing the option of having a personal bond, would that be helpful to get a person back on track? I want to hear your thoughts on this. 410-319-8888 is the number. 410-319-8888. We're talking about how Judge Nelson, Michael Nelson in Cleveland said enough is enough, man. They've been having in Cleveland a lot of inmates that have died in jail. But I'm not just looking at deaths in jail, because we're not hearing too much of that here in the city of Baltimore and around the state of Maryland. But I am looking at what are some of the options. As we talk about this whole thing about what are some of the things that we can do to avoid continuing to fill up our jails in the city and around the state, continue to give people a real second chance, right? And to not continue to criminalize people, how do you feel about us considering there should be a consideration of not sending nonviolent offenders to jail? Especially, let me throw this out there really quickly, especially if they're teenagers, if they're like 18, 19 years old, they're nonviolent, you know, will this help or hinder this problem that we're currently seeing with between the pipeline to jail? Give me a call, 410-319-8888. We're also broadcasting live on our Facebook page at For the Culture 88.9, as well as on my personal Facebook page. at Faraji Muhammad. I have to say, folks, that if we're going to change some of the dynamics of some systematic issues, we have to think innovatively. We have to think outside of the box. And sometimes some of those new ideas can come from outside of ourselves. It can certainly come from outside of the city, outside of the state. But I truly believe in innovation. If we can innovate technology, if we can innovate science and medicine, if we can innovate manufacturing, how come we can't innovate human services? How come? How come we cannot get to this place where we have all of this great advancement in all of these other fields of endeavor, right? But then when it comes to serving human beings, the ideas, the innovation becomes very limited. We still operate as if it's like 50 years ago, right? We still have this thing about redemption, but what does real redemption look like, especially given this time where we have more people that are in jail in this country than in any other quote-unquote civilized country on the planet, right? And a huge number of men, particularly black men, who go through the criminal justice system and then can't recover from the criminal justice system, right? Because they are criminalized. They are criminalized. And so what would happen if the criminalization of black men and black women were to be shattered from the court side? What would happen if nonviolent offenders here in Baltimore City decided not to go to jail? They wouldn't be charged with going to jail. You just post a personal bond. Do you foresee that that could particularly help the situation? But there's got to be something that we can do to alleviate this ongoing systemic issue of putting everybody in jail and throwing away the key. There's got to be more to that. Because for me, I don't know if that is the pathway to redemption or rehabilitation or reformation. I don't know if that's the pathway there. Well, let me just go back. I know that's not the pathway unless, here we go, unless there is some intervention in the services that are provided to those that are going to jail. Otherwise, you just throwing away, putting somebody in there for a given period of time and they're coming out and they're either coming out the same way or they're coming out in a much more focused way on negative force, to be a negative force either in the community or in the city. But this revolving door, this criminalization, this lack of vision of what it means to be rehabilitated and redeemed, these are the issues that we're focusing up. I want to get your thoughts on this and to get you to share with me this idea of not putting nonviolent offenders in prison with very, very, very violent offenders. I think we should consider that. Look, stay riding with me. We're going to get into this conversation. My man Glenn checked in on our Facebook page. He want to share with his, you want to say something about this. I'm going to share with you what he has to say, but I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. Whole lot coming up in the final 30 of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, folks, we're going to switch gears a little bit. But I'm talking about a Cleveland judge who said that he will stop sending people charged with crimes to sit in the Cuyahoga County Jail unless they're accused of committing the worst crimes. because he believes the jail is no longer safe after a 6 inmates died in 4 months in one of the county jails in Ohio. Real heavy situation. He said he will set personal bonds, meaning people who walk into his courtroom will be allowed to leave without posting bonds. But he's also going to talk to the court's administrative judge in Ohio and some jail officials to get their take on the situation on how they can kind of remedy inmates who are dying in jail. But more importantly, I think we over jail in this country, man. We over jail. This whole legalization of marijuana, that take, right? I think this should be a part of the conversation. But we over jail in this country. So I'm wondering, and I might be idealistic in thinking this, folks. I might be super idealistic. Like, let me see. What would happen if we did not jail nonviolent offenders? That if we created a model around this, what would happen? Would that shift, how would that impact and shift, this ongoing jail problem that we have in this country, that we always seem to just put people in jail? Because part of that is as much as we put people in jail, we'd give them a very hard time to have a second chance, right? To get a job and to do other things to be productive citizens in life, right? So the second chance thing is very hard. But then you also got to think about the rehabilitation situation, right? Like, if you commit a nonviolent offense, and now you got a record. Okay, boom. Now you come out or you're in this situation. How do you take the time to make some new choices, to make some better decisions, and truly be redeemed from that experience? Rehabilitation. I want to go to the phone lines, 410-319-8888, to hear what you got to say. Also, I want to share some thoughts coming from our Facebook page at For the Culture 889. My man Glenn checked in and said, look, we need someone to articulate a clear vision for what winning looks like in mass for folks of color in Baltimore. Yeah, we do need that, Glenn. We are so focused on fixing what's wrong that we don't take sufficient stock of what is going well and binding on that. Glenn, what you're talking about, sir, is a form of organizing that I've been taught, which is seeing things from an asset model versus a deficiency model. Very simple, folks. Deficiency model, you walk into a situation, you walk into a community, and boom, you look at everything the community is doing bad. All the bad things, right? Got liquor stores. You may not have, you might not have a supermarket. You might not have, not too many activities for children. And you acknowledge that. You highlight that. And that's where your form of organizing starts. You're like, we need. But the asset model is looking at a situation is not acting as if you don't recognize those things. But the asset model is, boom, you got families in the community. You got a school in the community. You got green space in this community. You got residents who want to change their community. So they're willing to sacrifice and commit themselves to organizing around a particular issue. That's asset looking, asset building, asset mapping. That's the thing that I think, Glenn, you're talking about. And I wholeheartedly agree. And I think that you're also right that in order for us to have a clear vision for what winning looks like, what does winning look like in Baltimore outside of locking up and throwing away the key? Okay, so let's act as if we were teenagers, and we were all teenagers. And if you are a teenager, you're going to make some dumb decisions. Trust me. You're going to make some stupid decisions when you're a teenager, right? But you shouldn't have to suffer your whole life for making some stupid decisions as a teenager, because that's just naturally what teenagers do. So you shouldn't have to suffer for it for all of your life, pay the price all of your life for making a natural, dumb teenage decision. You shouldn't have to suffer for it. You really shouldn't. So yes, what does winning look like? If a young man or a young woman is caught up in a situation and it's, again, nonviolent offense, they shouldn't have to sit in jail. They should do some community service. They should do something else to get them to get on the right track of making better decisions, choosing right better people around them, all of those things. They should not have to quote-unquote go through the agony of striving to get a second chance all in the name of a dumb teenage decision. They shouldn't have to. Let's go to the phone lines to hear what you got to say. 410-319-8888. We're talking about a Cleveland judge saying that he will not charge nonviolent offenders to go to jail because, one, there are too many deaths in a prison, and two, this is not productive. Should we adopt that model here in Baltimore City and around the state of Maryland? Let's go to Sunday out of Govan. Sunday, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on it, Sunday?
And thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
One really great thing that's happened is they're talking about community court. You do the crime in the community, you have your hearing in the community, and if you're going to be in parole, you're on parole and probation in the community.
So, Sunday, community court, I've heard of this this model, right?
Yes.
And so, when can that be established given where we are in the city of Baltimore?
You know, it can happen. The biggest push against community courts are the judges, the sitting judges, that we all go in the voting booth and pull the lid for the lever beside their name every 2 or 4 years and don't even know who they are individually or how they impact our community.
But why would they be opposed to community court where they still have cases of more violent offenders?
They have the salaries of 140, 150, 160, but most of them only work a half a day.
Mm.
One half a day, part-time job for over $100,000 a year.
Mm.
So when you talk community policing, you got to leave the court, you got to get in your car, you got to go to a community, you got to find a place to park, you got to meet all these people who don't worship you.
Mm.
So it's a problem for you. Just like when the governor said, let's get together and figure out a way to fix these sentencing because we're over-sentencing people. And the judges said, nope, you can't tell us what to do. That's interfering with the courts.
Right, right. That's a good point, though. I think a community court should be something that is a real option on the table for this.
It should be a done deal.
Hmm.
Once a month or twice a month, a Harvard times they need it, there should be community courts. And then finally, on this question of bail bonds, it's unconstitutional. The Constitution says, I can't keep you because you owe me money.
We're sending the wrong
message. And
there
was a meeting about that. The judges were supposed to be looking at that and sentencing and getting fewer people bail bonds and holding them in jail because they can't pay that bond. Constitution says you can't do that. But what they wind up doing is putting a bond on a guy or a woman. They sit in jail, they lose their job, they lose their house, they lose their family, while the person who does really horrible crimes has the money and can bail themselves out immediately.
Wow. All right, well, you opening my eyes tonight, Sunday. I guess that's why they called you Sunday, because you just...
Bye.
Bye. Sunday from Govan's checking in, man. Community court. Man, I like this idea. Now, there is a resource organization called courtinnovation.org. Court Innovation, they put out a report about the validity of community court and how the model is being the Center for Court Innovation is a nonprofit organization that is actually explored this idea of community court and how the model is being adapted across the United States, essentially answering key questions of can courts assume a problem-solving role in the life of a community, bringing people together and helping to craft solutions to problems that communities face? How can court sentencing strategies address the effect that chronic offending has on a community? Can local voices, residents, merchants, community groups play a role in the administration of justice? Wow. How can courts best link offenders to the services they need to avoid reoffending? And it also speaks to, in this report, is it possible to craft meaningful alternatives to incarceration and ensure that there are swift consequences for noncompliance. Community court. It's like restorative justice, right? There is this growing, this model for restorative justice. Now, I think that when we use certain things like restorative justice or community court or even community policing, that does not mean, folks, that you just totally abolish the current system as it is right now. But this system needs to be supplemented because as of right now, the court system, the policing system, and all of those systems that are the stewards of our lives, right? They're not able to adequately address all of the issues and all of the problems that come up in a way that's justified. And I think that's the end of the day. Like, you know, courts should be an avenue for justice. It should not be an avenue just to penalize. It should be an avenue to determine what is fair, what is right, what is wrong, based upon a higher standard. And it should not be used as a weapon of mass destruction. Yep, that's what I said. The courts should not be used as a weapon of mass destruction, where you are sentencing people for years on years, year in and year out, decimating communities in the process, destroying families, and then you're wondering why your city is not making any real progress. There's no prosperity. Come on, folks. This is not rocket science here. But I know what it is. I know the politics behind it. But at the end of the day, are we going to allow politics and money, to take priority over the welfare of our city? That's what it is, right? I mean, I know that's been the order of the day. I totally get that. I see that. I know it. I can taste it. I can smell it. But at the end of the day, if the welfare of the people is not intact, then guess what's going to happen? Neither will your government. Mm-mm. Your government will not be intact. Your influence will not have any real influence. And essentially, people are going to hate you because you are a leader, or rather a manager, of personal tragedy and community destruction. That's what it's going to come down to. And nobody needs to be a manager of that. Let's go to Marty out of Northeast Baltimore, first-time caller. Then we hit to Gene out of Pikesville. Marty, what's your take?
Well, my take is, what is the usual definition of when people say they're crazy? It's usually when you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Come on, Marty.
Well, if you keep having kids in school and then let's say they graduate, mm-hmm. I say big deal from graduating from high school because there are no jobs. Mm. Okay, you've got all these kids, young people, going to jail because there are no jobs. Why can't Baltimore City has all these houses that are just sitting there waiting to be repaired and fixed?
Yeah.
Why not set up a program where the Baltimore City hires some master craftsman and then hires kids and trains them to make to repair these houses?
Yeah.
And how do they get their money back from all this? Well, now they've got a new house and it's repaired and they can sell it.
So you're saying basically using graduates of Baltimore City schools to help rebuild the city?
No, they don't have to be a graduate. I mean, some people drop out because the school, to some people, school is boring.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. A lot of kids, they say, well, what if I graduate from high school? That means I'll be able to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they quit high school and then they're in a deeper hole.
Yeah.
But I just say, like, any kids that want to learn a trade, Baltimore City ought to have master craftsmen to teach these kids.
I like it.
A trade. How to repair houses, air conditioning, electrician work,
yeah,
carpentry.
I like it.
And then kids get paid, and then the house gets repaired and sold, and then Baltimore City gets its money back.
Right. Hey, Marty, I like it. Now, I'm interested in hearing. So, what's your idea? I mean, about this Cleveland judge, he's deciding not to send nonviolent offenders to jail.
Is nonviolent that something? Offenders should never go to jail. Mm. But here's the problem.
Okay.
The person, let's whatever their crime is, a nonviolent criminal.
Yes, sir.
And they just get probation. Well, you got to look at why they committed the crime.
Yeah.
So if it's not fixed, guess what? They're going to go do it again.
Yeah.
So you got to fix it. That's what I said about the definition of crazy.
Yep.
You're just letting someone go out into the same situation they came from, and then what else do you expect to happen? The same thing.
Same thing. It's mathematics. It seems like it's 1 + 1 to me, Marty, but apparently 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 in people's eyes. Sometimes it equals 3 or 8.
The politicians in Baltimore cannot think outside of the box. Everything to them is black or white, good or bad.
Yep.
They don't want to take a chance on anything. Education is fine, but that's a road that has a dead end if there are no jobs.
Yeah, that's very true. Marty from Northeast Baltimore, I appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much, sir. Let's go to Gene out of Pikesville. Gene, what's your take on this? Nonviolent offenders not going to jail.
Yes, I agree. Nonviolent offenders should not go to jail. Now, Marty just made a statement. He said that probation or parole?
Parole.
Parole. Okay, so you get parole. Before you get parole, you have to be convicted, right?
Yeah.
So what you're talking about is the system pre-going to court, jail. So am I right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the system, you're arrested.
Yep.
You go to central booking. The next day, you see the
commissioner.
Commissioner, right?
Yep.
And then the commissioner at that time sets your bail, and so you could either get bonded, etc. Right.
Right.
And either going to go home, or if you can't get a bond, then you're going to sit in jail until your trial comes up. That's the system they're talking about. The pre-punishment system before you get punished.
Right.
Okay, so now, right down the road in D.C., they have a system where I don't know what it's called, but a no-bond system, where they don't use the bail bond. It's not the primary consideration, when you meet the commissioner. And so what happens is the judges still can use that as a tool, but what the judges have is the discretion to decide, number one, if you're a nonviolent offender, and what you should do. Should he say that you need to seek, a problem with your addiction or your problem might be?
Yeah.
Go get counseling, if you're a juvenile, et cetera. So, but in Baltimore, we don't have that. We have a bond system. Everything is predicated around the bond.
Right.
If you can make it, you could go home. If they set one, you could go home. But if not, you sit in jail until your trial comes up.
But it's a money-driven system. And
yes,
again, we might be thinking too idealistically here, Gene, but at the end of the day, money should not be the key factor in a person's rehabilitation.
Farajee, it might even be incidental that money is the issue. You have this industry around it because the system we have it has no foresight in a sense that it doesn't look at rehabilitation.
Right.
Rehabilitation isn't the primary consideration. In the juvenile system, as I understand it, rehabilitation is what you seek. But in the adult system, you're actually trying to punish people.
That's what I'm saying. And you can't, the court shouldn't be playing that role, Gene.
Exactly. Look at the 13th Amendment.
Exactly.
It sets your citizenship, your immigration status. And it also says that if you're convicted of a felony, literally you're re-enslaved.
Absolutely, absolutely. Gene from Pikesville, thank you so much for checking in. And you know what, folks, and that's the sad part about it. I mean, because we just get to this place where we just want to throw everybody to jail, not understanding the real consequences, not just on that individual, but what about the community that has to suffer with that, right? What about that particular family that has to carry that burden, right? And I mean, I think that we're coming up on a midterm election, that's one, and we're also coming up on a legislative session in January, right? So if there is some real conversation about the criminal justice system, the sentencing process, bonds, that whole situation, if there's some going to be some real conversation, that has to happen on a state level. It cannot happen just on the radio. It has to happen on the state level in order for us to move the needle a little bit on this. Excuse me. So at this point, we should look at it and really look at other models that are around the city of Baltimore. Gene referenced Washington, D.C. You know, we should look at other models. We should look at the community court model. You know, how does that play out in Baltimore City? What neighborhood or what area can be used as a model for that? Who could benefit from that, right? The restorative justice model. We talk about it in schools, but at the end of the day, is it really applied? And just more importantly, this whole thing about penalizing individuals. Yes, you penalize, but penalizing adults in particular and young people as well, penalizing, there should also be an element of rehabilitation. Because just as much as our parents punished us, they punished us out of love. Remember that? I'm going to hate this more than you do. I remember my father used to tell me that when he used to get us spankings. He gave us spankings only a few times in my life. But he used to tell me that as he was like, unbuckling his belt. Like, son, I'm going to hate this. I'm going to hate doing this more than you. And I always wondered in my mind. I never said it out loud. Why are you doing it? Dad, why are you beating me if it hurts you more than it hurts me? And I never did understand that premise, to be honest with you. Like, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. No, I don't think so, because you're the one that's perpetuating the pain. So it actually hurts me more, because it's not just a feeling, it's a physical reality. But the point is, folks, that there has to be some rehabilitation that comes along with this, right? There has to be, quote unquote, love. If we're serious about rebuilding people's lives, and the courts should be serious, the jail infrastructure should be serious about real rebuilding people's lives. Yes, some people need to be punished. Absolutely. Some crimes you need to go to jail for. I'm sorry, you need to go to jail and probably stay there. But there are too many people that go to jail for small things that if they were just exposed to some better opportunities, some better resources, and they would make some better decisions. They would get out of the phase of making dumb teenage decisions and make productive grown folk decisions, right? So jail is not the silver bullet to our social ills, because jail has exacerbated those things. So we're in this place, we're at this time where we should really consider some new options. That's all. Really consider some new options on the table. And I hope that that can be done, especially for this upcoming legislative session. All right, folks. Wow. We had a fantastic show tonight. I want to thank each and every one of you, especially on Facebook. Thank you so much for being a part of the crazy conversation. Hey, look, tomorrow, can I share with you? See, today is Monday. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Tomorrow, we plan to have the producers and filmmakers and the writers of the new independent student film, The Tormentors, that yours truly is a part of. I am so excited because the premiere is happening this Thursday night at the Senator Theater. 7 o'clock p.m. is the red carpet. 8 o'clock is... Yeah! Woo! I'm going to be in a movie. 7 o'clock for the red carpet. 8 o'clock for the showtime. The Tormentors, you can check out youthwritersrock.com to get your tickets. We're going to talk to the fantastic people behind this new project and how they got me involved in it. And now I'm excited because we're going to be talking about the issue of bullying tomorrow. So we're going to have that conversation tomorrow. on For the Culture. Oh, man. Thank y'all so much for taking a part of this tonight's conversation. I want to thank my very special guest, Sister Yanajdaha, Sister Queen Yanajdaha Lone Wolf, taking time out of her busy schedule to talk to us about Columbus Day and the ongoing movement that's happening around the country to deny Columbus gay his recognition. No more of that. Now there is an emerging movement to give recognition to the indigenous people. So big shout out to all of us who are indigenous in this country and around the world, and to make sure that their history is known and is told truthfully. So we're going to have that. Thank you so much for that conversation. Thank you for all the folks that checked in on our Facebook page. I'm so happy. I want to thank my dynamic production team for making me sound so good. Miss Mallory Pinkett-Pierre, our station manager here. Mr. Alex Blanc, our producer, our productions assistant, Daryl and Jalen. And, of course, Dre Day, my engineer, for making me sound so good. Stay tuned. Is up next is In the Groove with LaDawn Black. Make sure you hit us up on our Facebook page with all of your thoughts and your comments and feedback at ForTheCulture889 on Instagram and Facebook. You can also shoot us an email at ForTheCulture889@gmail.com. And if you haven't had a chance to do this, make sure you go to WEAA to download your latest edition of the For The Culture show. If you missed some shows, and we've been having some great conversations, you can go back to WEAA.org and get all of your latest shows, download them, pass them around, and all of that good stuff. All right, folks, you know what it means for me. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to having another great set of conversations with you tomorrow as we talk about bullying. Yes, and how we're saying enough is enough. That's happening on tomorrow's show of For The Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. And WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. And as always, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.